This is going to be the shortest sermon you've ever heard from me. So frankly, it will be only as long as Rick makes it. So our text today is Isaiah chapter 7. And the faster he reads the text, the sooner we will be done. Isaiah chapter 7. Don't take that as a challenge, Rick, because I'm going to spread it out, I'm sure. But Isaiah chapter 7. And Rick, you take that for us.
Our text is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. This is the word of the Lord. Verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have come near. Emmanuel, God with us. But we pray as we hear your word preached this morning, as we enjoy and get to watch our kids play, God, that you, Christ, would be glorified, that you would be magnified, that we would see you as who you are, the reigning King who has come near. Lord, pray that you would be with Brandon in the preaching of your word, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
About 2 weeks ago, I was with a friend. He and I were meeting for lunch. We had made these arrangements more than a year ago. He's visiting town, and we tried to figure out the safest way for us to do that. And we found a location that's near our office that could accommodate our safety concerns. And while we were sitting there, he came to pick me up actually. And while we were driving to the restaurant, we were having a conversation regarding some struggles he's having and he pastors a church in another state. And I said, "Well, what's the biggest complexity you're running into?" And I don't know why I asked him that, because I actually wanted to meet with him so he could help me deal with some of my own complexities. And it turns out that the one he's struggling with is one that we have in common. That is, he's having difficulty getting a understanding of the gospel to the people whom he pastors, because there has been this fixation on the gospel as a transactional thing. God asked something of us, which was faith. And then God gave something to us, which is salvation. And he's noticing over time that that transactional approach to the gospel has undermined their ability to value what actually occurred. God asked me for something, and then he gave me something in return. I paid him in faith currency, and then he blessed me with the reward, the benefits of the faith currency that I paid him, and therefore I have eternal salvation. And I said, "Well, how about this? Instead of us fixating on the thing, the benefit, the experience that God has given to us, what if we were to start addressing the gospel as a reference to the person who gave, not the things that were given? So what if we completely remove that language and look and recognize the things that we're recognizing as the transactional benefit for us? What do we see those as? The mere byproducts, the fruits, the side effects of the actual blessed gift?" And he says, "Well, what's the gift?" I said, "God is the gift. Jesus did not die so that we could go to heaven. Jesus died and resurrected so that we could have God. Our fixation is on what God can give us." But you have to realize who you're dealing with here. God is not a God who's going to give you. He can do nothing imperfectly. So God's not going to give you anything less than the best. And if you really appreciate where I'm coming from here, then you'll understand that money, cars, houses, and even salvation is, those are all good things, but they are not the best. The best is God himself. When God decided to give you the blessed gift, the greatest conceivable gift, he created the means by way of his death and resurrection to give you the greatest conceivable gift he could provide. And the gift he gave is himself. And salvation is a byproduct of that. Your sanctification is a byproduct of that. There will be no one in heaven impressed with pearly gates and golden streets. The thing that makes our eternal experience blessed, the thing that makes it heavenly, is the presence of God. We will relish in the presence of God, not the stuff that is there. We will not be impressed by how well he decorated the place. We'll be blessed by the head of the household. That's God's blessed gift. And we keep making reference to it without even realizing we're doing it. Because every year, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 gets read. And we're reading it, we're snatching it for the sake of Christmas. We're snatching it out of its broader context. Ahaz, the national leader, is told to ask for a sign. And I love the tendency we have to spiritualize our response to God. We think God's constantly testing us, or we fear that we'll be putting God to the test. So he's told to ask God for his sign. Look at what he says, starting in verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. It's God telling him to do this. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. So he didn't even put limits on what the sign could be. As deep as Sheol or high as heaven, as deep as the grave, the abyss, the place of the departed dead, or as high as the heavenly abode of God himself. Pick that. I'll give you a very broad window. Ask me for something within this window, and I will put myself on display according to your request. And in trying to be holy, Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And I love this, because if you miss it, you read it too quickly, and English kind of loses it. The person speaking in verse 13 is not God. It's Isaiah. In fact, I love that this happened. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and there's a footnote at the bottom of my Bible that says the he here is a reference to Isaiah. So the initial conversation is between God and Ahaz. God tells Ahaz to ask for a sign of God's provision. Ahaz says, I don't want to do that because I don't want to put you to the test. Well, who am I to ask God to show me a sign? And then Isaiah jumps in verse 13 and says, hear then, since you won't ask for it, then hear. Listen to what the sign that is chosen for you will be. O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I want to put two things out in verse 14 and then we're done. The first thing is, you have evidence of God's willingness to provide any sign based on the sign he provided. He said, as low as Sheol, as high as the heavens. And he proves that because he says that the sign will be a virgin giving birth to a child. Now, listen, I'm not a scientist, but I went to high school and I had a relatively good health teacher. In fact, our health teacher was also the football coach. And I questioned nearly everything he said until we got to the part of the semester where he talked to us about things like the conception of children and sexually transmitted diseases. That's because I went to school in the 90s where that was a drum that was pounded on a regular basis. So I know, because of that class, where children come from. And here's what I know because of that class. They are not usually the products of virgin pregnancy. That's a very lofty sign, which lets you know the extent to which God was willing to go when he told Ahaz, I'm going to give you this one-time offer. You get this dispensation, a special dispensation to ask me to show you who I am. And Ahaz turned it down. And look at what Ahaz turned down. This is how lofty God was willing to go. He's going to have a woman who has never been with a man conceive a child and give birth. The other thing I want you to catch is He tells you the significance of that child. He says that the child's name shall be Emmanuel. It's probably more appropriate to identify the word Emmanuel as the title, the child's title. And the word means God is with us. Notice what it does not say. It does not say, when the baby comes, he will give you stuff. It does not say, when the baby arrives, then you will have license to live freely, independent of any consequence for your sin. It does not say, when the baby comes, you can be impressed with how decorative the heavenly abode is. No, for Isaiah, as he writes verse 14, salvation, the outworking of the gospel, is the immediate presence, the proximity of God the Son, God with us. The blessed gift is God. He did not die so that you could merely have a Savior. He died and resurrected so that we may have a King worthy of reigning. And I genuinely believe that we have demoted him because we see him as no more than his stuff. But if we had any idea of the King that we are dealing with, then the privilege of being in his presence would be enough. That's the message I gave to my friend in the car on our way to Coffee at the Point. So we sit down and each of us purchase a Welton, the best sandwich in Northeast Denver. And he said, okay, well, wait a minute. How do I tell my people that he came to give us himself and not give any attention to the stuff he brought with him? I said, you have to go into the minutia of the stuff when you talk about the one who brought it. He had just purchased a car. He drove here across several state lines in his new car. He didn't want to get on a plane. And so we're sitting in his car, which that's the reason he drove. It's the reason he picked me up so he could show me his new car. And we were driving there. I said, when you tell people about this car, do you tell them that you purchased a car or do you tell them that you purchased an engine? When you tell people about this car, do you tell them that you purchased the car or do you tell them that you purchased tires? He had a rather impressive sound system in this car. He paid for the upgrade. I said, when you tell them about this car, do you say, I bought a car, or do you tell them about the supremacy of the Bose system that came in the car? So you don't go into the details of the stuff that came with it. You tell them about the car. When we talk about God, we're not saying that God brought us stuff, because God is himself the gospel. God is not merely the one who brought salvation. God is the salvation that was to be brought. So proximity to him is the thing that brings us joy. And Isaiah understood that, because instead of saying that the gospel means we are delivered from our brokenness, his explanation of the gospel was God is with us. He told you of the one who came, not merely the stuff that he brought. Do you see the King, the baby in a manger who grew up to reign? Do you see that King as enough? Let's pray. God, we bless you for who you are. Not merely because you are worthy of blessing, but in spite of us, you decide to give your worthiness, put your worthiness on full display in our lives and for our benefit. Let us never take that for granted. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.